I've been preaching a series of messages entitled, The God We Sometimes Forget. You know, folks, most of you, many of you grew up in church and you learned about God. And you grew up in church and you learned a lot about Jesus. But most of us didn't learn a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus is God. He's just as much God as God is God. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we've taken several weeks and we've been looking at the Holy Spirit, the God that we sometimes forget. You know what we ought to all do even right now, folks? If you're saved, you ought to thank the Holy Spirit. Yes, you ought to thank the Holy Spirit. Because you can't be saved outside of the Holy Spirit. What caused you to acknowledge your need for a Savior? You said, no, Pastor Benny, it was my mom, it was my dad. No, it was the Holy Spirit. That's what caused us to acknowledge the need for Jesus. The Holy Spirit dealt with our heart. So I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit. I want you to take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Notice what the Scripture says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about how is your relationship with the Holy Spirit. How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? And when I say your relationship, that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not enthusiasm. The Holy Spirit is not energy. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. You say, well, Brother Benny, he's a living thing. Well, a tree's a living thing, amen? But a tree's not a person. A person has a mind. A person has a will. And a person has emotions. And the Holy Spirit, he's a person. He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. I love what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said, we shouldn't refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Instead, we should always refer to the Spirit as he. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. He speaks to us. He commands us. He intercedes for us. He hears us. And he guides us. Now, folks, before you think, rule me and check out, I want you to know something. God's on the throne. Jesus Christ is at his right hand. It's the Holy Spirit that's here with us. God's agent on earth is the Holy Spirit. So it might be good, ladies and gentlemen, if we get to know the Holy Spirit. It might be good for us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that's here for us. Now I began to think about this thought. How's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? And I'm convinced concerning the Holy Spirit and our relationship, there are two things with the Holy Spirit that we shouldn't do. And then there are two things that I am convinced concerning our relationship with the Holy Spirit that we should do. The first thing that I want you to see, folks, that we should not do concerning our relationship with the Holy Spirit is we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what's interesting. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I, as mortals, as Christians, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, the word grieve means to deeply sadden. Deeply sadden. How many of you, since you've been a Christian, there was a time in your life that you sinned? Amen? Now listen, if the person beside you did not raise their hand, take one arm and put it around your wife and put your other hand on your wallet. Sure, we have all sinned. And you know, when you sin, you feel bad about it. And you think, well, that's my conscience. That's not your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Holy Spirit is deeply saddened, ladies and gentlemen, when we sin. He's deeply saddened. And that's why we feel that guilt. That's why we feel that remorse. We have literally grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what's so amazing. When the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, it goes on, and before that verse and after that verse, it tells us what we do as Christians that grieves the Holy Spirit. First of all, our morality, or perhaps I should say lack of it, grieves the Holy Spirit. Notice what Ephesians says in Ephesians 4 and 25. It says, wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbors. For we are members one of another. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, when we don't tell the truth, it grieves the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. When we're not honest, it grieves the Holy Spirit. I read a story one time about Miss Lillian Carter. Miss Lillian Carter was the mother of President Jimmy Carter, and she wasn't much for reporters. And really, she wasn't much for female reporters. And a female reporter came down out of Washington to interview her one time. This elderly lady, and the reporter walked in the house, and Miss Lillian said to the lady, good to see you, and you look so nice. And then that reporter, being somewhat abrasive, said, did your son Jimmy Carter, growing up, ever tell a lie? She said, well, I don't know about that. He probably told a little white lie. And the reporter said, well, what is a little white lie? And Miss Lillian said, you remember when you walked into my house? I said, you look nice, and I was glad to see you. Well, folks, I don't know about a lie. I don't know about a little white lie. But I do know this. When we're not honest, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When we're not honest, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When we don't tell the truth, when we embellish, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It's not pleasing to the Lord. So we grieve the Holy Spirit with our morality, but we grieve the Holy Spirit with our mood. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look what he said in verse 26. He said, be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let me tell you something. If you have a problem with somebody, 24 hours, need to get it worked out. What'd he say? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Husbands and wives, I'll simplify it. He said, don't go to bed upset at each other. Don't go to bed upset at each other. He said, get it right. Two people can't be right with God, wrong with each other. Now, don't sit on me when I'm preaching good. I mean, folks, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves. Let me tell you something. When I'm running around with bitterness and malice and strife in my heart against somebody else, don't think the Holy Spirit's flowing in my life. It doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. I want to report to you today, unequivocally, two people can't be right with God and wrong with each other. Two people can't be right with God and wrong with each other. I want you to know something. Our morality, our mood, it grieves the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something else it grieves. By the way, folks, am I preaching the Bible? Is that what we came for? Now, not only does our morality and our mood grieve the Holy Spirit, but listen, our money grieves the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not hard. I'm all for people that have fiscal problems and physically unable to work. My heart goes out to them. Are emotionally unable to go to work, are mentally unable to work, my heart goes out to them. My heart goes out. But hear me clearly. The man that's able to work and won't work, it's not pleasing to God to take money from a man who will work and give it to a man who won't work. Somebody said to me the other day, now it's in another state, so don't try to figure it out who it is. It's in another state. Somebody said to me the other day, in another state, I quote, I've got a 20-year-old living here and he won't work. And they called me about it. You've got a 20-year-old living here and he won't work and you don't know what to do about it. I just don't know what to do about it. Let me tell you something. If he gets hungry enough, if you quit feeding him, he'll go to work. But as long as you're feeding him, he's not going to go to work. And you're enabling him, and you're not right with God when you do that. Amen. Amen, Benny. Good preaching. No, you're enabling him. If he gets hungry enough, he'll go to work. You say, well, Pastor Benny told me to let him starve to death. No, Pastor Benny didn't tell you that. The Word of God said that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Let him starve to death, and he'll go to work. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands that which is good. Let me tell you something else that grieves the Holy Spirit, that he may give to them that needeth. Don't tell me, folks, you're just so flowing with the Holy Spirit. You're just so flowing with the Holy Spirit, but you're the cheapest guy in town. No. You're quenching. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. I want to ask you something. Jesus is going to come back one day, and he's not impressed with all of your money in the bank. You need to pour that money into people. You say, Pastor Benny, do you have large savings in the bank? No, I don't. I've given my life. I've given my resources to help people. Jesus is not impressed when he comes back if I've got all this money. We need to pour that into helping people. You say, well, I'm saving it for my kids. They'll blow it 30 minutes after you're gone. I may not get past point one. We should not grieve the Holy Spirit. And folks, when we don't do right concerning morality, when we don't do right concerning our moods, when we don't do right concerning our money, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Tell you something else. When we don't do right concerning our mouth, listen, I'm just preaching the book. Isn't this good? Look what he says. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There's nobody any more for marriage than Benny Tate's for marriage. There is nobody for life any more than I'm for life. Wait, I'm 51, and Barbara has taught me into. When babies are born in adoption agencies, that birth mother has 10 days to change her mind. So they need a home for babies for 10 days. And our home's going to become the home. Now, how am I going to sleep with these babies crying all night? There's nobody any more for life than I'm for life. But let me tell you something, folks. Those are not the issues that's hurting the church. What's hurting the church, folks, is we tear each other apart vocally. We talk about each other. When somebody's going through a hard time, we talk about them rather than lifting them up. Pastor was invited home for a family to have lunch. And he said to the young boy as they were getting the lunch ready, "Son, what are we having for lunch today?" The boy said, "Goat." He said, "Goat." He said, "Yes. I heard my daddy say to mom, today's as good as any other day to have the old goat over." We should not grieve the Holy Spirit, but let me tell you something else, folks. We should not quench the Holy Spirit. We should not quench the Holy Spirit. Look what 1 Thessalonians says. It says, quench not the Spirit. You know what that means, folks? That literally means to dampen the flame. And I'm not gonna camp long on this point. I've got to move. But see, folks, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And you can fan the flame or you can dampen the flame. And you know what to fan the flame? I'll tell you what to fan the flame. Reading your Bible. I'll tell you what to fan the flame. Make sure every day you've got a place and a time where you pray. I'll tell you what to fan the flame is get up every morning and say, it's not about me today. I want to do for somebody else. It's not about me. We've heard about your problems. Everybody knows about them. But it's not about you. It's about somebody else. It's not about what you can get. It's about what you can give to somebody else. That fans the flame. You know what else will fan the flame? It's when you faithfully come to the house of God because you worship God and you hear the word of God. Now, there's two things that we're told not to do. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. But let me quickly give you two things that we're supposed to do. Number one, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice what Ephesians 5 and 18 says. Folks, these were people that were devout Christians. He said, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. You preach about this, and it scares people. And they said, Brother Benny, it's scary. The people that are fanatical. I'd rather cool down a fanatic than warm up a corpse. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, folks, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. And let me tell you about this Christian life. I've been trying to do it, folks, since I was 16, 35 years. And if you survive in the Christian life, there'll be time and time again that you'll have to come and say, God, I empty myself of myself and fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. You say, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, God will forgive you of that. That's not what I'm talking about. Friend, the Baptists need the filling of the Spirit. The Methodists need the filling of the Spirit. The Pentecostals need the filling of the Spirit. Over and over and over and over again, we need a fresh filling of God's presence. Folks, this is not a suggestion. It's not something God said you might want to do. He said, be ye filled with the Spirit. It's the Christian life is not, it, folks, it's not difficult without this. The Christian life is impossible. It's impossible without being filled with God's presence and God's Spirit on a continual basis. If you read Acts 2 and 4, the people were filled with the Spirit. And if you read Acts 4 and 31, the same people were filled again. And that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, we're leaky vessels and we need God's presence and we need God's touch. Let me tell you something, folks. What we need more than anything is we need the presence of God. And we should, folks, we should design our services. Somebody said we got to design our services to attract people. Let me tell you what we need to do. We need to design our services to attract God. And if we attract God, we will attract the people more than anything. We need the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm faced with a decision right now. A major decision in my life. Now, get this blown out of your head. I'm not leaving the church. Get that out of your head. But I'm faced with a major decision. How am I going to get guidance? Only the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He'll guide you in all truth. Not God, not Jesus, but I need the Holy Spirit, folks. Well, I can't lead this church without being led by the Holy Spirit. We can't do what we need to do without being led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we desperately need you. God's telling every one of us to be filled with the Spirit. And then He tells us something else. He says, not only are you to be filled with the Spirit? But He said, I want you to walk in the Spirit. Now, God showed me something, folks. If you walk, what are you doing? You're depending on the next step. You're depending on the next step. And to walk in the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is to depend upon the Holy Spirit. See, the Christian life is not about determination. It's about dependence. No. And you say, oh, so-and-so's so strong. No. Not any of us are so strong. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us. No. Nobody's any stronger than you. Nobody's any better Christian than you. It's just a matter, ladies and gentlemen, of how much we're going to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Because the Christian life is not about trying, it's about trusting. It's about trusting the Holy Spirit. It's about walking in the Holy Spirit. Now He tells us, folks, and I'm almost done. Thank you, brother. He tells us to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And while you're walking in the Spirit, there's some things that's going to come at you. Now, Galatians 5 and 16 says, walk in the Spirit. But while you're walking in the Spirit, you're in this fleshly body. This may be the most important thing I preach, so get this, folks. While you are walking in the Spirit, you're in this fleshly body, and the works of the flesh will come at us. And as we get down to verse 19, He tells us what some of those works are. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, that's physical relationship outside of marriage. Fornication, that's relationship before marriage. Let me tell you something, folks. I know it's the 21st century, but God still says that a young man and a young woman are to keep themselves pure for marriage. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, pornography. One out of four hits on the computer from men are to a pornographic site. 57% men. pornographic sites. Lasciviousness, which is immodesty. Idolatry, witchcraft. That word, folks, listen to me, comes from the Greek word pharmakia. We get the word pharmacy, drugs. I'm not only talking illegal drugs, I'm talking about prescription drugs. I know people that are controlled by drugs. They're not even themselves, they're controlled by drugs, and they've got a prescription for every one of them. And then some people, it's just drugs. Hatred. Hatred. Variance, which is discord. Emulation, which is jealousy. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. What is revelings? It's drinking celebrations. It talks to us about all those. Wait. While you're walking in the Spirit, we encounter these works of the flesh. And folks, I want to be transparent with you. I have been walking in the Spirit and encountered works of the flesh. You say, well, Brother Benny, when you look at these sexual sins, spiritual sins, social sins, how do we overcome them? What's amazing, folks? Notice the word there is works. Works. This is what I know about works. I can do work. I went out in my garden yesterday. Pray for my garden. I went out in my garden yesterday and pulled a cucumber. I did some work. Work we can do. Works of the flesh we can do. But notice what the scripture says in Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit. You can do work, but you can't produce fruit. Produce an apple, Leroy. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing, in John 15 and 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. So what's the answer for the works of the flesh? The answer for the works of the flesh is the fruit of the Spirit. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So how can I overcome those things that are pulling me down? Ladies and gentlemen, here's how we overcome them. We come to ourselves and we say, God, empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit. As our musicians are coming, I want to tell you a story. I heard about a business that caught on fire. Large fire departments came. They were hosing down the building from the outside. They were hosing it down, not having much success. But there was a county, two counties over, who had one old fire truck. And they started, that one old fire truck started coming down the hill toward that massive fire. Busted through the building. Got inside, and poured out the hose and started spraying and put the fire out. 2 days later, the owner of the business said, I want to reward them. I want to give them a $10,000 check. The press came, and he presented the $10,000 check to the fire chief. And the fire chief just had one other fireman on the staff. And they asked the fire chief, what are you going to do with the $10,000? He said, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get the brakes fixed on the fire truck. Now here's what I know. Victory in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't come from hosing down the outside. We can hose down the outside trying to make up for what's missing on the inside. But as long as you're hosing down the outside, you're not going to have victory. How we're going to have victory is when we get the living water inside. When we get the living water. That's how we don't have victory outside in. We have victory inside out. And how can I have a victory and how can I overcome this? It's through in being filled with God's presence and God's Spirit. Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.